B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The ring in particular, that had to be hard to give up because they're not easily obtained. I know you have a lot of them, but...
No, that one was pretty special. And, you know, I had a good friend, Michael Rubin, who started the All-In Challenge. And he said, try to come up with something special that could garner a lot of support. And, you know, I thought about our fifth Super Bowl when we were down 28-3 with 2 minutes to go in the third period and had a 0.04 chance of winning the game, 99.6 to lose. And we came back, and it was a great, great victory. And in some ways, I feel the mood of our country is a little down now, and we're still the greatest country in the world. We're going to come back. And so I thought that our ring epitomized that. And I'm happy to say that a Patriot fan who wants to be anonymous right now bought it. But I hope we'll come public with it.
Well, that was Robert Kraft on Fox News last night. Just a way to get into some football stuff here. First of all, you heard him say that there. That's the Super Bowl ring, the Falcon Super Bowl ring that he put up for auction. Garnered over $1 million. He said it was a mystery Patriots fan who didn't want to be revealed publicly.
So help me God, if that's Mark Wahlberg.
I was going to say, any guesses, right? Wahlberg.
Got to be someone like that. Yeah. Affleck, someone like that.
Who's got that kind of money to throw around?
I was going
to
say Affleck. Does he have that kind of money after all of his gambling and divorces and all the boozing and all that?
I mean, all right, how about Damon?
Oh, yeah, he's got that kind of dough.
You think so?
Yeah. Matt Damon definitely has that kind of money.
A mil just like that?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's like $30 to me. Like,
I don't know if those – I think it's got to be even fancier than that. I think it's got to be even bigger than that.
Mm. What about like Captain America there? Chris Evans, he's going to be raking it in after all those movies.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see if it's revealed at some point. So ESPN does this FPI, which is their Football Power Index. It's their prediction model. It's their fancy pants advanced analytics prediction model. It's based on a bunch of different factors, including the Las Vegas win total projected for a team, last season's performance on offense, defense, and special teams, the number of returning starters, coaching staff changes, starting and backup quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. FBI produces rankings and projections based on 20,000 simulations that they put through their supercomputer, Maz.
20,000 simulations.
Wow.
Huh? Keep running it.
Run it again.
So they come up with some conclusions. Do you have any takeaways before I go through some of the specifics?
Well, no, my takeaway is related to the specifics, so go ahead.
Okay, well, here's how they rank the teams based on all of this. They have Kansas City number one by a long shot. They have Kansas City number one by, they say here, enhanced by what FBI considers to be easily the best offense in football, the Chiefs are more than a touchdown better than an average NFL team and more than a point better than the second best team in the league, the Ravens. That strong rating fueled the Chiefs to a 21% chance to win the Super Bowl, according to their FPI simulations, which makes them the second largest preseason favorite since they began doing this 6 years ago. 2015 was their first year. The only other team that had a higher preseason chance to win the Super Bowl was the New England Patriots in 2017.
How about that?
And that's the year they got there and lost to the Eagles, right? Do I have the year right?
That's correct.
Yep. So the Chiefs have a 21% chance to win the Super Bowl. They are far and away, according to their projections, the best team in the NFL. Oh, by the way, the Chiefs were their preseason favorite last season as well, with a 15% chance to win it all. Do you agree that the Chiefs should be the number one team by far?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, based on the quarterback, but that offense as a whole, they're bringing everybody back.
They are, yeah, 10 of the 11, I think. So, yeah, Kansas City to me right now is the number one team in the league.
I mean, people do understand, and I know Mahomes got hurt, but, you know, they did have to back into that bye last year. They backed into it, didn't they?
Yeah, thanks to the Patriots.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So they weren't looking at a playoff bye in the last couple weeks of the year. It was, they got lucky. So I don't know. I mean, look, I think Mahomes is by far the best quarterback.
When they're clicking, they're a buzzsaw. I mean, they're down in those playoff games, and in a blink of an eye, it's like, huh, they lead by 20? What happened?
I know, it's crazy. But
And their defense did improve in the second half of last year. Kansas City, to me, is at the top.
Okay. Another takeaway is, well, and just if you want the top five, Baltimore is the second-ranked team. It goes KC, Baltimore, San Fran is number three, New Orleans is number four, and Dallas is number five. Okay. In terms of the things we're concerned about, here's one item. Tom Brady's new team leapfrogs his old one. The buzz around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Patriots feels noticeably different this offseason, they write. And yet, the FBI doesn't see much of a difference between these two teams. Though the FBI does have Tampa Bay as the better of the two franchises, the Bucs and Pats are back-to-back in their rankings. Tampa Bay is number eight. New England is number nine. They say that translates to a slight advantage for the Buccaneers in terms of chance to reach the playoffs. Tampa Bay has a 63% chance to reach the postseason, while the FBI projects 60% for New England. What about the Super Bowl? Tampa Bay has a 4% chance to win the Super Bowl, and the Patriots have a 3% chance to win the Super Bowl. So according to these projections, Maz, they are neck and neck. Your thoughts there?
So this is my takeaway. I'm stunned by this. Stunned. And again, this is just math. It's not subjective, right? So I think that part has to be emphasized, that this is an analytics study. Because I look at Tampa Bay and say they're better than the Patriots. Now, I don't think they're like Kansas City good, but I think that the Patriots don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. They've suffered losses on defense. Like, there is major change there on this roster, major. And I know that Bill Belichick is worth a lot, but the idea that Tampa and the Patriots are now effectively even, which is what these analytics tell you, to me is nuts. I think it's insane.
Yeah, given the Bucs' offense and those weapons, and I don't think, I mean, it wasn't a good year overall for Brady, but I still think he's got something left in the tank. That is a minuscule chance for them to win the Super Bowl. 4%? So what is it? These nerds look at the conference and say it's more difficult? Because I can understand that. I think the NFC is the better conference than the AFC.
They do factor in schedule.
Okay, but 4%? That's, I think, 12 maybe? 11?
4%.
And the Patriots don't have a picnic of a schedule either. Let's not kid ourselves. Okay. They get the AFC West and the NFC West, so the Patriots' schedule is hard.
Okay, but again, Tampa Bay's in the division with New Orleans, which is their fourth-ranked team.
Yeah.
The Patriots are in a division with the Bills, who are, well, I'll give it to you. The Patriots are ranked ninth. The Bills are ranked 10th. So the Patriots are the highest-ranked team in the AFC East, according to their projections, and the Jets and the Dolphins are 25th and 27th, respectively. So I think that's factored into the whole thing, and it should be. And it should be the strength of your division. Your division still blows.
True.
Now they write about this. The Bills, even though they rank one notch below the Patriots, are actually slightly favored in the division, according to them. Slightly. The margin is this. Buffalo has a 41% chance to win the division, while the Patriots are at 40.9. So 0.1% separates the two. And the difference is that the Bills have a slightly easier schedule because their two open games, if you will, their two wild card games, are a little bit easier. The two non-common opponents, the Patriots play the Ravens and the Texans, while the Bills play the Steelers and the Titans. And that gives the Bills a slightly easier schedule and a slightly better chance to win the division. But they're basically neck and neck. How do you feel about that?
So, look, that one I'm not as stunned by because, again, I think Buffalo still has issues, too. They probably overachieved a little bit last year. And, again, they have the same schedule as the Patriots. I told you, I think the whole AFC East is going to end up between 6 and 10 and 9 and 7. So, and, you know, to me, Buffalo and the Patriots are 8 and 8, 9 and 7 teams. I think the Patriots could be worse than that, especially if their quarterback play doesn't pan out the way that Belichick wants it to or seemingly set it up for. So I'm less, Mike, Buffalo's one spot behind the Patriots in this rating. Tampa's one spot ahead. Do all those three teams feel the same to you?
No, not Tampa. Tampa's better to me, I think, at least on paper.
I look at that. I just think that Tampa's better than both of them. Now, again, I'm not saying the Bucs are going to win the Super Bowl, but I think Tampa's a better team than both the Patriots and the Bills. It feels to me like New England and Buffalo are in the wrong spot. They should be further down.
Patriots, Bills, Buccaneers. Rank the coaches.
Oh,
Patriots. Ooh, that's a toughie.
Yeah, I think it's Bill, McDermott and then Arians.
See, I don't think enough people have handicapped the coaching.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think McDermott's a hell of a coach.
I think McDermott has half of a clue. And I think Arians is a nice offensive coach. But as a head coach and all of this, I mean,
a little too loose.
I don't know. I think that not enough people factor that in.
Yeah.
And not enough people factor that in when they talk about surrounding cast. And this goes back to a Brady argument. It's like, what has he been surrounded by? The boohoo Brady crew. He hasn't been surrounded by anything. He's been surrounded by the greatest coach in the history of the game. Like, so, like, what would you rather have? If Peyton Manning could go back and do it again, don't you think he would have swapped out Reggie Wayne for Bill Belichick? Or, you know, like, you know, Peyton always had these great weapons. Yeah, but he didn't have any good coaching. So, like, you take away Reggie Wayne and give him Bill Belichick. You don't think he would have taken a little lesser weapon for a good defense or a good team or a overall tough mindset or whatever? So, I don't know. Factor in the coaching.
Yeah.
It's a huge variable. The more I think about it, I'd put Arians ahead of McDermott. I think Arians is pretty good. He was, you know, he was over 600 winning percentage in Arizona.
Yeah, and for me, when I look at the Bills, too, who keep being talked about as AFC East favorites, and I've thought that, too, you don't need a nerd and supercomputer to look at that quarterback, Josh Allen, and be like, yeah, he's a weak link. So I like their defense. I think they're well coached, and that team is, you know, the arrow's pointing up, but Josh Allen blows.
So, Maz, you don't have a problem with Tampa at 8. You just have a problem with the Patriots and Bills at 9-10.
Correct. Yeah, I think the Patriots and Bills are closer to the middle, and again,
okay, well, hold on. Let me give you some teams that are ranked below them. Who should be ahead of the Bills and the Patriots? Should the Rams?
Well, so I know what 1 through 5 is. What 6 and 7, I'm presuming, are Seattle and Green Bay.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to give you the teams below the Patriots and Bills, and you tell me if they should be ahead of them.
Okay.
Number 11 is the Rams.
No. Same class.
Okay, so the fact that the Pats are 9 and the Rams are 11 isn't really that much of an outrage for
no,
you.
No, no, the same class, yeah.
Okay, number 12 is Pittsburgh.
Lower.
Pittsburgh should be lower.
Yeah, right.
Okay, number 13 is Minnesota.
They should be higher.
Oh, so you, Maz, you have this Minnesota bias. You're still on Minnesota.
Minnesota's better than both of those teams.
Okay. Indianapolis, 14.
Oh, they should definitely be higher.
I put Indy on the high end in the same class, but probably on the higher end now with Rivers.
Okay, so that's not an outrage either. So, you tell me where the Bills and Patriots should rank then. So, I found one team you think should be ranked higher than them. How about?
Well, I'd put Indy up on the higher end of that class, but even so,
I mean,
look at again. Maybe,
what does that mean, higher end of that class? I don't understand what you're saying. Should they be ahead of the Patriots or not?
I put New England, Buffalo, the Rams all in the same group. I think they're sort of the same thing that I would throw.
Maz, I need harder answers.
Yeah. Should the Colts ahead of New
England? Should the Colts be ahead of them or behind them?
Jesus Christ.
You ruined the whole freaking exercise.
I did it just to piss you off, you donkey.
What does this mean? They're in the higher end in the same
Indy, class. Indy ahead. I put Indy ahead of the Patriots.
Okay, Indy's 7. No. Okay, Indy's 8, New England's 9. Fine. Good God. How about Green Bay? They're ranked 15th.
Yeah, higher.
Oh, ahead.
How about Tennessee? They're ranked 16th.
Higher.
Ahead.
How about Denver? They're ranked 17th.
No.
Behind.
Okay. So you figured out the exercise, for crying out loud.
Well, we were good until you got to Indy.
Is there anyone else? Atlanta, Cleveland, Chargers, Bears, Cardinals, Raiders, Texans. Oh, the Texans are ranked 24th, according to the FBI.
Coached by a moron.
See, that's asinine, though. They're not 24th.
Should they be ahead of the Patriots?
No. Well, yes.
Yeah, they should be,
actually.
Oh, my
God. Yes. What? Yes or no?
Mike, the Patriots don't have a quarterback.
Okay, so
the Patriots should be like 13th or 14th.
So the Texans are now ahead of the Patriots, too.
Yes.
Okay, so we've gotten the Vikings, the Colts, the Packers, the Texans, and Tennessee. 5 teams that should be ahead of the Patriots, so they shouldn't be 9th, they should be 14th.
Yes, that's about right. They should be in the middle of the pack.
Okay. We get some hard answers out of this guy, Murray. I mean, that wasn't too hard, was it?
Well, it's easy when all you do is ask the question,
like a
Mr. Facilitator.
All right, meanwhile, a emailer sent me something yesterday, a follow-up on the match with Brady. It's a Brady item more than a match item. I'm going to go back to the golf, but it's a Brady item. I spat out my coffee. I wasn't even drinking any Portnoy. It turned out to be true. I couldn't believe this story, so we'll pick that up with your calls right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felder and Nass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I got to tell people, man, this dude played 18 holes this morning, and he was working out in the parking lot. He was running, doing wind sprints and jumping jacks in the parking lot. Anybody got that type of dedication, I'm not betting against him.
So I got an email that clued me into this. This was Barkley before the thing on Sunday. And Barkley proceeded to bet against him during the event and razz him all the way through. But that was a commentary before Brady teed off. That was Barkley saying, so Brady played a full 18 holes early in the morning. Then he what? In the parking lot was doing wind sprints and jumping jacks? And then went back out for the actual televised events and played another 18 holes. So I got a couple thoughts on this.
First, what a hard-o move that is.
What a hard-o. Oh, my God. Lighten up, Francis. Take a day.
Like, yeah, let me work out in the parking lot so everyone can see me.
Well,
like Maz and his Apple Watch. I didn't get my steps in.
Well, is he? I mean, did everyone see him? Because I don't know. I don't see any pictures of it. So here's two things. One is, well, I guess someone's back to being the hardest-working player in football. Like, you know, we didn't need to know this with the way he was working out with those with his Tampa Bay Buccaneers teammates at the high school in Tampa Bay and, you know, how hard he's working. Now he won't even take a single day to go play some golf without doing some wind sprints and deep knee bends and jumping jacks and all of this. But Tom Brady, now that he is trying to stick it up Belichick's ass, is back to being the hardest working player in football after the last couple of years. I don't know if he took them off, but certainly wasn't quite the same. Put it to you like that. So I wonder if that's aggravating to Patriots fans. This is something we hit on last week when we heard about the practice session with the Buccaneers. But this is just another indication. Your guy, your former guy, is now back to being the hardest working player in football.
Seriously. Like, again, so I think it's a hard-o move. But all of this being said, I meant to bring this up yesterday. I just got to get it off my chest. When I turned that thing on over the weekend, and I'm talking about the match, the first time I saw Brady, you know what popped into my head? My first thought was, he looks good. And when I say looks good, I mean, I thought his arms looked jacked. I thought he looked ripped. I said, he looks strong, man. I can't remember looking at Brady and seeing him look that sort of strong and thick in the upper body. I thought he looked good.
Well, he's, you know... Excuse me. He's putting a lot of work this year. He's back to being the hardest working player in football. After the last couple of years, jumping off of boats in the Mediterranean and screwing around in the backyard with the butlers, he's back to being that guy. So how does that taste? That's just another indication of it. But the other thing is, you played 18 holes in the morning? Dude, what are you, like Chevy Chase and Caddyshack the night before the big match? Like no wonder he was a mental case. You had to play 18? First thing you have at 5 in the morning, you go play 18 holes to prepare for the match? You know, it's like, good Lord, guy. No wonder he was such a mental case. He was in his own head.
Or gassed, you know.
Or gassed, right, that too. Gassed. You play that murderous track twice? And does that really get you right? Is that why you hid the driver? Is that why you kept the driver in the car? Because you play in the morning and you spray that driver all over the place and then you got off the course. You say, there's no effing way I'm hitting this thing out here.
Good theory. That's a good theory.
There's too much marsh. And so I got to take it easy. I just got to smooth it in the middle of the fairway. And so you went out there when the cameras were on and played like a Sally. Is that what happened? But either way, again, you overthink the thing. You're playing a midnight round of golf again, like Chevy Chase and Caddyshack the night before that match. That's what it sounds like. Good God. You know, a combination of mental case and hard-o. I mean, take a day for crying out loud. Take a day. No. 18 in the morning, jumping jacks and sprints in the parking lot in between, and then he has the televised match. Holy moly.
Jumping jacks. What type of loser does jumping jacks in the parking lot of a golf course? Seriously, jumping jacks. Wow. I'm sorry. That's a hard-o move. That's a big-time hard-o move. What did he do? Some lunges, too, while he was out there with his hands on his hips? He'd do those so that everyone could see him?
So anyway, there's your Brady item. Back to your phones on everything. Spent a lot of time on the NHL and their return to play, and you want to talk about that. Here's Eves in New Hampshire on that. Go ahead, Eves.
Yes, hi, guys. Two things regarding Bettman. If Bettman and the owners of the Canadian teams went to Trudeau and said, open up the borders for our players, if he didn't do it, he would get hung by the every Canadian resident. Number two, regarding Montreal, I'm not scared of Montreal if we don't play in Montreal. And if we did this time, we wouldn't be playing in Montreal. The crowd, the referees, they all get really on the Montreal side because the crowd is crazy. Even if these players go in restaurants, they walk down the street.
I'll tell you what, Eves. It's not the building that I fear. It's the uniform. It's
a uniform in the history.
Yep. And by the way, in hockey, I'd almost rather be on the road. I have no problem. It's not a Bell Center thing. Although, look at Rask's numbers up at the Bell Center. They are caca. Caca. It's just Montreal, and it's just sort of karma in the way, you know, my life works anyway. And that is, this would be just the thing. Have Bruins be the best team in hockey, Montreal nowhere near it. And then because of some crazy off the grid pandemic apocalypse, Montreal gets gifted into the postseason. You're the number one seed. They're the number 24 seed, and they beat you in the playoffs. Like, that is just, that sounds so real to me. It's not even funny, Maz.
Yeah. It's the uniform you fear, not the building.
Right.
Uniform, interesting.
Well, both, all of it. But,
yeah,
I mean,
that's good. We're going to get Billy Laney to wear a Canadiens jersey the next time he comes into work.
Here's Mike in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Mike.
Quiet.
Mike Hall.
Good. Couple things. Montreal, let me play them. They're awful. Carey Price isn't even having a good year this year. I don't care about the ghost stuff. I've lived it my whole life. I'm almost the same age as you, Felder. So I've seen it all and I've lived it all. And I'll tell you right now, in 1979, give me the Canadians. Thing to watch out for? John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Why? Decimated by injuries all season. They still had a great year. Now they're 100. Everyone's 100% healthy now. It's like a whole new season.
Okay.
So I take the Columbus Blue Jackets lightly. And as far as the players go, I don't care about them and their million-dollar lifestyle. Shut up or get a real job and get a life.
Okay. So that last part I'll leave to the side. But there's so many teams in the field, Maz, that, Columbus, the Islanders, you know, both grindy teams with Barry Trotz there on the island and Tortorella in Columbus. It's like, those would be grindy series. To me, once you get past Pittsburgh, and then leaving Montreal to the side for special reasons, I mean, what's really Carolina, the Islanders, the Leafs and the Panthers play differently, but they're all roughly the same quality. This is why people barking about the seeding and the Bruins potentially being screwed, losing the first seed, and even Cam Neely doing it today a little bit. Like, does it matter?
No. Look, if I'm the Bruins, I told you, the one thing I would do, don't finish fourth. Don't finish fourth. Take Pittsburgh out of the equation. Let someone else deal with Pittsburgh. In fact, in a perfect world, you do well in that round robin, and you bump down Tampa Bay, and who else am I forgetting? Or you bump down Washington, one of those teams, and you let them deal with Pittsburgh, and maybe the Penguins pick them off, and you catch a break.
Okay, we'll come back and reset our NHL thoughts right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
All right, as promised, we'll reset some of our NHL thoughts, but we'll do it with you. All right, here, David New Bedford, what are your thoughts? Have you got any bitches?
Yes, my thoughts are for the first and second round of the playoffs, the only question I have is whether it's going to be by seeding or bracket format and how that would affect the Bruins.
Okay, so, David, from what I understand, the players want them to reseed every round. Every round, reseed, highest seed faces the lowest remaining seed. The owners want brackets and for some reason are in love with brackets. And I don't know if there's, certainty about scheduling or setting a TV schedule into the next week for their broadcast partners or something. I don't know what it is. I think in normal times, a lot of it may have to do with travel, but this is just an oddity that I've picked up here is that the players want to reseed and the owners want to bracket it. And they've left that one open because they couldn't come to an agreement on it. And instead of putting the brakes on everything and holding everything up because of it, they smartly, in my opinion, said, well, let's just put that to the side because we don't exactly need to know this now or for a couple of weeks anyway. So let's work on everything else. Let's keep the ball rolling. Let's take a step forward and we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. I wish more of these leagues were doing that.
Well, and if I understand correctly, Cam Neely said today that he prefers the reseeding as well, which if you're the Bruins, makes sense that the Bruins would look at it and say, look, we're confident in our ability to be a high seed. We want to keep playing the lowest possible seed we can.
That opens up the possibility of Montreal. I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, well, Cam's not afraid of Montreal. He beat Montreal.
He also lost to him. Also lost to him plenty. Okay. So, yeah, they beat him once. Congratulations.
No, it's good. We got to worry about the emotional well-being of Ewan Murray, your ability to handle the series against the Canadiens.
That's right.
No, that's good. Yeah, no, because that'll fix all your mental issues.
What's the saying, Maz? Those who don't know their history or appreciate their history are doomed to repeat it, right?
Those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. George Santayana is the guy you're looking for.
Okay, obviously it's the Italian fella that you just happen to know who said it.
He's not Italian, but I did a trip years ago where his words were, I forget it, I don't need to tell you, but it's a famous line.
Okay, well, there you go. I had it kind of. To me, I don't know. So the lower seeded teams, number 10 is Florida, number 11 is the Rangers, number 12 is Montreal. I'll take Florida any day of the week. Would love to face Florida in that next round. That would be a win. That would be a great draw for the Bruins. The Rangers, sneaky. Sneaky. They're a team on the come. They got some young legs.
They scare me.
They got some speed. They've got some momentum this year. It's not even I'm so far out. I should look all this up and get myself refamiliarized with it. But I don't think Hank's the goalie. They've got a whole different thing going on there. They have Panarin there. They have Trouba on defense. Like the Rangers are sneaky. And then Montreal, I want nothing to do with because of the history. But to me, so if they just bracket it, you get the winner of Toronto or Columbus. If they go lowest remaining seed, you're going to get Montreal, the Rangers. Maybe the Florida Panthers, you know, if there's an upset in there. I'm not sure what's better or worse. I'm not sure if there's any difference. We've got Steven in Boston on the match. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. Tony, I noticed the same thing, the exact same thing with Brady as soon as he came out of that first tee.
He looked strong. Yeah, he looked strong. He does. Like, look at that shot we keep showing on the simulcast where he's like pointing. Look at his bicep and his tricep. His arm, he looks ripped.
Yeah, so much for the flexibility thing.
Oh, pliability? Yeah, this is all powering up. He is back to being the hardest working player in football. Hardest working guy in football, all to serve some personal grudge or, I don't know, sell some supplements or whatever. But he won this guy for you the last couple of years.
I mean, he's in Tampa now, man. He needs the beach body on top of it. I'm telling you, that one, there's a shot now they're showing on the simulcast. He's holding the iron in his hand and he's pointing. It must have been right after he holed out that wedge where he kind of pointed like, yeah, there you go. And I remember thinking, wow, look at him. Look at his arm. His arm looks thick. He looks ripped. I mean, he looked strong to me is how I thought he looked.
We've got Ryan in Mansfield on the NHL. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I just had two kind of questions for you. The first was one big part about being a top four seed was getting that bye in the first round. But now they're talking about the round robin. A seeding doesn't matter a whole lot. do you kind of sit half of your core, treat it like a preseason, and get their feet a little bit wet because you are playing like the top of the top of the NHL?
Yeah, so, and Maz mentioned this earlier, Ryan. The only thing I'm really avoiding is being the four seed, because that gets you Pittsburgh in the first round. And I don't mind that matchup for the Bruins. I sort of like the Pittsburgh matchup, Chara and Crosby, and, you know, there's some history there, and I think it's good history for you. And I'm the Penguins don't terrify me, but I'd want to avoid it. I'd take any other team in that first round other than Pittsburgh ahead of them or Montreal. So I'm just avoiding that matchup. So win one of those three games. That's all.
Yeah, right.
Basically win one of those three games, and you're not going to play Pittsburgh. And the rest, it's all pretty much the same.
And if they're as good as we thought that they were before the shutdown, we don't have to worry about that.
But this
I just think you need a breather in there somewhere. And if you get Pittsburgh in the first round, because, again, we know who the top four seeds are and we know who the best teams are. I just don't, you know, if you're going to win the cup and you have to go through Pittsburgh, Washington, and Tampa, like, in that scenario, it's possible that you'd have to do that. To me, that is a lot of work, and I don't think they can get through there.
So, you know, again, Carolina, the Panthers, I'll take the Leafs again. I think they're, you know, a good matchup for you in a down year. And when I say good matchup, I mean they've taken them to the wall the last couple of times you've played them, but I still think you've got defense and goaltending over them, and I think ultimately that wins out. Pittsburgh, because of the star power, I'm trying to avoid. But really, what's the difference? It's hockey. This isn't like you losing the number one seed all of a sudden draws you. The L.A. Lakers are the number one seed, and you're on the road in a hostile environment. It really makes no difference in hockey, which is why all the caterwauling about potentially losing that number one seed to me is ridiculous. But before we found out that they were going to reseed at the top, before we found out that round robin for the Bruins was going to mean something, we were getting calls, people saying, well, it's not fair that they're just playing exhibition games in the qualifying round. Those guys are playing playoff series, so you're going to be playing a team that's hot while you're just coming off an exhibition season. That's not fair. So now they make it not an exhibition season. They make it mean something. You have to actually win those round robin games for your seeding. And now we're getting calls saying, well, that's not fair. They're going to lose the number one seed. So which is it? Like, are you just bitching to bitch? Like, what do you want them to do? They have to pick one. Do you want them to play or not? All right. So there's going to be one or the other. And again, we'll welcome the bitching. We are a conduit for your bitching. We're a clearinghouse for your bitching at 617-779-0985. I don't want to discourage your bitching. Bitch away. But be realistic. You've got to pick one or the other. Either those games are going to mean something or they're not. And so pick one. I'm just glad they picked one, and now we can move on to the next thing. So we continue with your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your glass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mr. Kraft, I've been pushing. Can we open stadiums successfully? I've talked to the head of the Yankees. I've talked to so many different owners. People go through these turnstiles that take temperatures. If you want to go to the game, you got to wear a mask. Drink your beer through a straw. It's inconvenient. You do it for other people. It's proven safe in New York for those that did this diligently. Your thoughts?
Well, we're preparing to hopefully play football this fall. We're working hand in hand with our union. We believe we've developed protocols that allow us to do it in a safe way, looking out first, you know, for our players and our personnel, and then, of course, the fans. And yeah, I believe we can do it.
Okay, so that's Kraft on with Hannity last night on Fox News. I'm laughing at the beer through the straw thing. Okay, so that's Hannity saying he's talked to owners. You know, there's turnstiles that take your temperature as you go through the turnstiles. Okay, cool. No problem. Go ahead. Take the temp. We all wear masks. I mean, again, this is to get people into the buildings, right? So you go through a turnstile that takes your temperature, and the ACLU can go F itself, or whoever wants to make a stink about that can go F itself. Just take your temperature. Big deal. If you're sick, go home. Like, you'll live. You'll be okay. Our civil liberties are fine. All right? Wear a mask. And now I'd say for everyone on the other side, I'm not wearing a mask. Oh, shut up and wear the mask. Shut up. Seriously. Put on the freaking mask. If it's going to open up business and open up the economy and get people to their, get their businesses back online, for you to wear a mask, wear your stinking mask and shut your trap. Oh, you're not going to wear my personal liberty. Oh, just stop it and put on the mask. All right, so I'm fine with the mask. Okay, so take my temperature, I'll wear a mask, I'll do all of that. The beer through a straw. So, like, I mean,
wants everybody to get hammered faster.
Well, so I was going to say, like, I used to go to the games and the guy would have the helmet with the beers on the side of the helmet with the straw that came down. That works. A beer funnel works. But can you really, like,
it's not a drink you're supposed to consume through a straw.
Do you straw the beer from the ground up? It's really got to be, I think for it to work, it's got to be above your head.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds a little too weird for me.
Now that, okay, now look, again, I don't care about your civil liberties. Take my temperature, wear a mask, but now I got to drink my beer through a straw? Hell no, I'm not doing that.
I just don't understand how that would even be necessary if
the workers are wearing the
gloves, they just put a plastic cap over the cup, they hand you the cup, you're good to go.
Well, no, but for you to drink the beer, you got to take your mask off.
Oh.
So you got to keep your mask on. This is the whole point. You want the straw to go underneath the mask, right? That's the idea.
Oh, then...
You slip the straw underneath the mask, and you...
Oh, I didn't connect that part.
No, I mean, that's what I think he meant.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you tell me. I have no idea. I heard that. I laughed. I'm like, we drink through a straw.
I'll just watch from home, then. This is ridiculous.
I mean, I'm fine with the mask.
I'll tell you what. If that got me into a stadium, I'd do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've already ordered my mask with the Brewers logo on it. That's coming. And the temperature check, no fine. You want to track my cell phone? You can do all this crap. I'm fine with all of it. And the ACLU and, you know, the three percenters can all go pound sand, as far as I'm concerned, on all sides of it. You want to get back to sports? You want to get back to business? You want, fine, no problem. I'll do all of this. The beer through the straw has to be further explained to me. Because with the carbonation and the thing, I think there's a reason the beer helmets, the beers are on top. I think that it's got to come down. And when you do a beer funnel, Maz, I mean, you may have done one or two of those at Tufts.
Maybe a couple.
Like, I mean, it's a.
But Mike, if there's a carbonation issue, you drink soda through a straw.
Yeah, right.
No, the beer thing on your head is because that thing holds a couple of beers up there and they run the straws down. You can drink beer out of a straw. The old myth, and I don't know if it's a myth or it's a reality, is that allegedly if you do it, you get drunk faster because it takes some of the air out or something. Is that true, Murray? Is that a myth?
I don't know.
You never heard that one? You drink beer through a straw, you get drunk faster?
No. Well, Maz, you didn't say bong. You said beer.
I don't know. Right, ask the wrong guy.
Qualified.
Wrong topic.
Answer that.
Wrong topic.
The weed doctor doesn't have that answer. But so that's the idea. Beer through a straw? Beer through a straw. Okay, fine. I mean, I've never really done it. I mean, I think what Hannity means is underneath, it's you hold the beer down here and you straw it up. You're not funneling down.
That could work.
Either way, you know, keep open.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't factor that in because you need it because of the mask. I thought it was mask to get in. Then once you're in your seat, you can take the mask off. But apparently that's not. No. I'll stay home.
No, but so, I mean, look, I mean, this isn't. I'm willing to work through all these issues. The mask is on, but you can't stuff your face with the mask on. So there's got to be way. How do you do this? How do you shove, you know, three Fenway Franks in your face and chug four beers and get the cotton candy and the whole. What was the. God, we used to do, what was it called? Oh, not the Grand Slam. What was the thing? It was Fenway Frank, the sausage outside, a couple beers. It was hitting for the cycle,
peanuts.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
What was the cycle? Right. It was like four different things you shoved down your face over the course of it. Either way, how do you do it with a mask on? So anyway.
Or you could just do what Murray does and stay home with the pong.
Tom and Quincy, your thoughts on the baseball negotiations?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm a big baseball guy. They're making it wicked hard for me to like the sport with all this stuff. After the Snell and Harper stuff last week and Boris and all that crap, the owner's coming back with that proposal yesterday seems wicked extreme.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. I haven't been able to listen to much of you guys today, but that proposal to me is almost like they don't want to come back and play because I feel like it's so far away. Like, that just seems so, like, too much. Yeah. They're not even starting in the middle ground there. They're, like, going full on.
Well, so what we said, Tom, and I'll just cut you off, I'm sorry, is that it was really an offer intended to break the union more than reach an agreement.
Correct. Yeah, it's you don't make that kind of offer if you're looking to get to a deal, right? And that, you know, and look, the public nature of this whole thing should tell you how the two sides are operating to begin with. When you want to make a deal, you don't release information about every proposal. It's coming out on both sides all the time. So this latest one, like, I've been on the owner's side of this thing, but that was not made with the idea of brokering a deal. That was an F you to the players. That's what that was.
And I'm okay with it. I mean, and I recognize it. I do not believe that offer was intended to get a deal done. It was not a good faith offer. It was not made with the intention of bridging a gap or bringing the sides closer. It was really just the opposite. It was with an intent to divide the union by separating the rank and file from the high-paid players. And again, I'm okay with it because I think that union needs to be taken down. I think baseball needs to get the game back from the players for it to speed it up really more than anything. And if they're going to use this financial issue at this time to break the union, then go ahead. I think the sport needs it, Maz.
I mean, look, I think that it's not a bad time to pick a fight if that's, you know, if that's what you're looking to do. And I say that acknowledging that we're in the middle of a global crisis. But the point is, they're going to lose money anyway. And so if you're going to lose money anyway, and one of your long-term goals is to really take on the union and just smash them in the face and really alter the rules and the core and the structure of the game going forward, because it needs it on the field and off, then now's not a bad time to start that fight.
Okay, on the NHL proposal, which is the first league to dip their toe back in the water, and they deserve credit for it. A lot of bitching, though, a lot of complaining about the system. And I guess my stock answer to that is, what did you want them to do? What did you want them to do? What legitimate second guesses are there? I think there's only one. We'll reset this thought after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.